Hotel history is created for adult audiences. Content may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised. You're listening to Hotel History. We take you with us through the sordid history and scandals of some of the world's most famous and infamous hotels. I'm Dieta.
And I'm Yael. Let's get started.
I am so excited about our upcoming podcast this month. It is all about the literary world. So today we've got some different literary and bookish hotels that we're going to talk about all around the world. And then we're going to be doing a book giveaway on Instagram this month. So make sure you're following us. And then to finish off the month and celebrate World Book Day, we're going to be doing a full length on the Algonquin in New York.
I'm excited about all these really cool hotels we're going to go over because it's like a bibliophile's dream where you can just like fall asleep in books.
Yes.
In hotels. And yeah, some of these are really beautiful.
Yeah, you book talkers and bookstagrammers, this one is for you. We're going to start with Gladstone's Library, which is located in the Welsh countryside south of Liverpool. To celebrate his retirement as British Prime Minister in 1895, William Gladstone founded a public library. And then at the age of 85, he wheelbarrowed his entire personal collection of 32,000 books, the 3/4 mile between his home and the library.
You think he did it himself?
I had said that he did it mostly himself.
That's insane.
Isn't that, he was 85?
Yeah. And those books were not paperback.
No. Yeah. His daughter said that his desire was to bring together books who had no readers with readers who had no books. And then following his death in 1898, it became the nation's tribute to his life and work. And today, Gladstone's is the UK's only residential library. So you can actually stay overnight in this library, which who's never dreamed about that.
Yeah, it's a working library. You can take out books even if you're not mm-hmm. staying there. Mm-hmm. That is really unique.
Yeah, it's open to beautiful. The public until 5, but if you're staying there, then you get special access to it until 10.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's really cute. It's the outside, it's not castle-like. But it is kind of like an old, I mean, it's been around since.
Yeah, it's got British country estates written all over it.
And there's some like quaint little dark rooms that you can read. And there's like these couches and of course bookshelves. And then there's the main library that is so beautiful. And all this like these wooden archways and windows and just rows and rows of books. If you can, check it out. Check out their Instagram. Or just Google it. Their website is interesting.
It's a little old-fashioned, it fits with the vibe, you know?
Yeah. They're not trendy, but they're classic.
Yes. So the library has a total of 26 rooms, which the website describes as quirky comfortable.
Okay.
So interpret that how you will. But of course, they're going to have beautiful views of the Welsh countryside. And obviously, the bonus is access to the library, which holds over 250,000 printed items.
So they grew over the past 100 years.
Yeah, whatever you're looking for.
That's crazy.
There's no TVs in the bedrooms, which is fitting because they want to preserve the ethos of study and reflection, but they do have a selection of DVDs if you just have to ask.
Okay. I like that. That's like that is a place you want to go away and just focus on like your writing or mm-hmm. studying. And I think we all need a vacation without electronics.
Yes.
I wonder if they have outlets for your phone charger. Yeah. I'm kidding.
They do have Wi-Fi. So
I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to find the place?
Yeah. And it starts at 120 pounds a night, which is about $150 right now. And it includes free breakfast at their on-site cafe called Food for Thought.
That is so cute.
It's so cute. I love it so much. This is absolutely, I'm going to be going here whenever I make it to the UK.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, this is an unplugged paradise.
Our next hotel is more like an Airbnb experience. It is an Airbnb experience. It's not really a hotel. It's called The Open Book. It's located in Wigtown, Scotland. And it has been Scotland's national book town since 1968. This small little town at the heart of it has the bookshop called The Open Book. They have little apartments upstairs where you can stay and live out your dream of running your own bookshop by the sea. Which is really...
So yeah, you get to actually live upstairs and run the bookshop. That is such a bucket list item of mine for life.
It's a lifetime movie waiting to happen.
It's like one of those sweet, like little cozy romance novels.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is the beginning of that movie.
Yes.
And then a Scottish handsome man, you know,
be still my heart,
falls in love with you. But of course, in the beginning, it's all like, no, who do you think you are? You're running this bookstore wrong.
You think you've come all the way from the big city and know what we do here?
Lifetime should
we'll teach
us.
You how to live.
We're going to sell it to them. It's going to be a hit. And yes, it's going to be a man that falls in love with a woman because this is female, a female story.
Yeah. Well, you said Lifetime. Yeah. So yeah,
exactly. So staying there, it's not like an expensive place to stay. It's a nonprofit and there's a lot of volunteers helping like make the...
Yeah. So you won't be like responsible for this bookshop all on your own, yeah. Right? Like there's a staff to help you out for sure. So this area of Scotland sounds beautiful and like there's a lot of really cool stuff to check out, I guess, on your time off from running your bookstore. Well, because you're on the sea, I think, yeah. And then they've got, it says ancient woodlands, which sounds amazing, castles all around because it's Scotland, a whiskey distillery. I don't want to say that's typical, but it's Scotland once again, so you've got castles, you've got whiskey.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like this cute little experience and it's definitely different. You're not staying at some random hotel. You're kind of like involved in your stay.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would definitely want to stay.
I would too. Yeah. So if this is your dream to live in the Scottish countryside and run your own bookstore, then you can definitely do it for a couple of weeks as long as you can get your visa. Up next is, here we go. It's in France, y'all. I'm sorry.
Y'all.
La Librairie du Marais? Marais? Something like that.
You say it a lot nicer than me.
So this is a bookshop, not a library, even though it sounds like the word library. In French, that means bookstore. It's located in the heart of Paris behind the facade of an old bookstore in this area called Marais. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's opposite the oldest Parisian market known as Les Enfants Rouges, the Red Babies.
The French are an interesting people.
Market. I think that's what, because enfant is children, right? And rouge is definitely red. So the red children?
Yeah.
We should have Google translated this beforehand. Whatever. We're rolling with it.
French speakers out there, please correct us.
Anyway, this market dates back to the 16th century. So history all around. And then, of course, it's going to be surrounded now by the trendiest shops and restaurants in Paris.
Also, when you go on their website, there's a picture of the bathroom. And there's just books and bookshelves like behind. You can sit on the toilet, take a book. You might be in there for a long time.
Who knows?
But it's really cute.
So it's going to be furnished like an apartment, and it is big enough for two, but they also designed it where you can have up to four people in the space. And there are books everywhere. There are exposed wooden beams, which give it this really nice, old-fashioned country feel. And a fully equipped kitchen, which I think means something different in Paris than it does here. I think they mean you have a microwave and a tiny fridge and a coffee pot.
Yeah.
So don't go in expecting like a kitchenette in your Best Western. But of course, well-supplied bookshelves with over 4,500 books, which is the important part here. So this particular bookshop was rescued by the founders of Paris Boutique, which is a hotelier concept that's converting the city's forgotten boutiques into these cool, unique accommodations that you can't really find anywhere else.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's like the opposite of a big corporation coming in and destroying a historical place and yes. be like, we're going to make this really expensive and you get like a closet to sleep in.
Yeah.
They're like, this
is tall, personalityless steel and glass. Yeah.
This is the opposite. We need more of these kind of people coming in and preserving like historical places. Also, the location itself, you can tell it's not... It doesn't look very Parisian on the inside.
No, it really doesn't.
It does look modern, but not like soulless. It looks up to date and clean and roomy. But I'm so happy that they did that. Our next one is in Japan, and it's called Book and Bed Tokyo. I love Japan for things like this. Apparently, Book and Bed Tokyo is the only place in the world that lets you actually sleep in a bookshelf. So like there's a bookshelf, you slide it, there's like a door next to it and you can sleep in a little...
Yeah, there's like a little nook just big enough for you. It's so cool. If you're claustrophobic, maybe this one's not for you. But if you've ever just like wanted to crawl inside a bookshelf and curl up, for comfort, then.
Well, listen to this. There are no comfortable mattresses, fluffy pillows, nor lightweight and warm down duvets. What we do offer is an experience while reading a book, dozing off obviously during your treasured pastime. With a heavy drooping eyelids, you continue reading only to realize you have fallen asleep. This is just a place to crash after you've studied or have been reading too much.
This is definitely hostel style.
Yeah.
So it's not your 5-star hotel experience, but it is very much for the book lover. Maybe bring your own blanket. It's BYOB. Bring your own blanket, I think.
Okay.
if you need the warm and cozy duvet.
It's functional. It is a hostel basically, and it's a lending library, so the books aren't for sale. There's over 50 beds. They have single, comfort single. What the hell is the difference between a single and a comfort single? Do they give you a blanket? A double superior room. And the good news is they do have toilets and showers. But they're shared, like on the floor. So it's a different kind of experience. It sounds like fun, though.
It really does. Like just for one night.
Yeah.
Or even maybe like just to... pop in and take a nap if you're able, like while you're in the middle of sightseeing.
Yeah, I think for like if you're young and you just need a place to sleep, this place might be for you.
Yeah.
It's really cute. You should look at some photos. We'll share some. It's very interesting. Yeah, it's not for claustrophobic people. Also, it feels a little bit like, hiding someone in a closet. But it's cute. It's cute. We highly recommend checking it out.
It kind of looks like we don't have the proper licensing to let people sleep here, so we're just going to hide you inside the bookshelf. No, yeah. We're a library.
It really nooks and crannies being used everywhere in Japan. That's yes. The difference between Japan and here. It's like here, it's like, no, we're not licensed. You can't sleep here. There, they're like, there is space. You like to stand and sleep? Go right ahead.
I feel like we always do at least one New York hotel anytime yeah. we do a group of hotels. It's New York just has so many
everything.
Cool things. We can't help it, guys. So the Library Hotel is located in Manhattan, and it features a collection of over 6,000 books. And I love this part. Each of the 10 guest room floors is dedicated to a different category of the Dewey Decimal System, which, if you didn't know, includes social sciences, literature, languages, history, math and science, general knowledge, technology, philosophy, the arts, and religion. And then
I think it's the cutest theme. I think that's what all of them should be doing.
Yeah, I love it. And then there's 60 rooms, and each one of those rooms will have its own theme within that category. So whatever floor it's on, like if it's on the history floor, then you might have a room dedicated to a specific area of history. Like there's a Slavic languages room and a mystery room and stuff like that. And then all the rooms will also have 50 to 150 books and artwork exploring a distinctive topic.
Oh my God, that's so nice. I didn't realize, I've been to this hotel once when I was I was a teenager. And I had an opportunity to go to like some event at their garden on top. And they had like these people doing pedicures. I don't remember this. Like I wish I remembered more, but it was so pretty because you saw like the whole Manhattan skyline and it was like really cozy.
So on the second floor, they have a reading room, which is open 24 hours a day. And it will have coffee, cappuccino, fruit, snacks, whatever you need to hang out in there at any time of day and read. And then the 14th floor rooftop, I think, is what you're talking about. It's got the writer's den and the poetry garden with views of Central Park, iconic New York architecture. You can read by the fireplace or in the greenhouse. And then every evening at 4, it transforms into Bookmarks Lounge, which is a rooftop bar with literature-inspired cocktails.
Oh my God.
So everything I could ever ask for.
I need to go back there now that I'm over the age of 21.
Yes.
Wait, but the reading room, is that open to everyone or just hotel guests?
Oh, I don't know. Good question.
I feel like people do hang out here. I've heard of it, but I can't remember for sure what the situation is. It's a very cute hotel. It's I would say it's not the trendiest. It's not, but, and it's not either, it's not the trendiest and it's not the most old, cozy looking. It's kind of, and I love this place, but it's kind of like stuck in the late 90s vibe. Or is that just me?
No, I could definitely see this like featured on a late 90s television show. Like it has that look to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so for our next one, this one is called B2 Boutique Hotel and Spa in Zurich, Switzerland. So this hotel is really interesting. It is in a old brewery. They converted it to this library, and they housed everything in the former fermenting tanks. So there's pictures of just these really long bookshelf, like it looks like you're being swallowed by books.
Yeah.
And it holds over 33,000 books and features massive beer bottle chandeliers. That's what that picture
That's
was.
That's what that was. Okay. Yeah. I had to look because I couldn't tell from the photo.
It's so cool. Everyone should check it out. You can eat in the restaurant among the books and grab one and pull up a chair by the fireplace to read. So you can just grab a book off the shelf, sit down, have a good time, have a beer. I'm assuming they are going to serve beer.
Yes.
The hotel also has a co-working space, an outdoor restaurant called the Terrace Lab. It was formerly the brewery's laboratory, and an on-site gym, which no,
that is here not to the read crowd. People.
Yeah. Yeah, it also has a spa. It features a Roman Irish spa area. What the hell is a Roman Irish spa? Ancient bathing cultures. Ooh, ooh. So you can.
Yeah, so they do like Irish the bathhouse vibe.
I'm kidding.
With Irish Spring.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. They have different, I guess, things that were in Roman Irish bathing cultures. They have thermal baths in century-old vaults, an emerald bath with underwater music, and an infinity pool on the roof. Okay, that one sounds cool. The emerald bath with underwater music, like in Harry Potter? Does anyone else think
to open the egg?
Right, and you put it like, is that where they, maybe that's where J.K. Rowling went for inspiration. Boutique hotel is really cute.
This one really did sound like the perfect type of getaway where you don't necessarily want to leave the hotel that often. You can have your books to read, go do some treatments in the spa, eat outside, go back to your room, read some more, fall asleep. Yeah.
Also just hanging out in the working area or just in the fermenting tank, which is so weird. But really cool that they did that. Like someone looked at that tank and they're like, you know what? You know what that would be great for?
Our last one is not a hotel. It is actually a fully functioning bookstore. Pretty famous, actually. I see it on Instagram all the time, on the bookstagram part. It's called Shakespeare and Company, and it's located in Paris. But it's been moonlighting as a tumbleweed hotel since it opened in 1951. So I had never heard of this concept before.
Yeah.
But so the bookstore's founder, George Whitman, traveled the world as a self-proclaimed tumbleweed, blowing from place to place, sheltered by the grace of strangers. So basically, you could come and ask to stay in one of the 13 beds that they have kind of hidden away in the back and stay there as a tumbleweed for, you know, it could be as short as a day or two, or I think one tumbleweed stayed there for 7 years. So it's kind of a range of things. So this George Whitman, who founded the bookstore, he wanted to repay the generosity that he encountered during his journeys. So he founded the bookstore in 1951 with the motto, "Be not inhospitable to strangers, lest they be angels in disguise." And he threw open the doors to writers, artists, and intellectuals who needed a place to stay. In exchange, the tumbleweeds, the guests, were asked only to read a book a day, help in the shop for a couple of hours, and write a single-page autobiography for the bookstore's archives. And today, the bookshop has housed an estimated 30,000 tumbleweeds. The shelves are crammed with these autobiographies and stories of romances that played out within the bookshelf. You can imagine all of these.
This is the cutest
wayward people just, you know, living their lives together all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, there's so, I feel like hotels and authors, like writers, go hand in hand. So many writers have stayed at hotels, right?
Lived at hotels for periods of their lives. Yeah,
it makes sense that some of these places have a place to sleep because they probably are welcoming writers historically, where they're like, "I'm gonna crash and just, you know, write a novel that's gonna be like a bestseller."
Exactly. So if you want to know more about becoming a tumbleweed, you can email the bookstore. I don't think they are currently accepting any, but you can always get some information. They'll let you know when they are. it is communal in nature, so you're going to be sharing your space with others. Privacy is non-existent, basically. And George Whitman used to say that it is a socialist utopia masquerading as a bookstore.
Ah, okay. But you know what? That makes sense, because you're not there for privacy.
Yeah.
You're there to help, and you're there to read and to contribute. And this is the kind, at least in my opinion, that of socialism, I think, is really good. On like this small scale, you help others. And you should have more of this attitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has beat culture written all over it. The fact that it's in Paris. He opened the bookstore in the 1950s when that was, you know, at its height. So I love that a piece of that has lived on all of these decades later. Thanks for listening to Hotel History. You can follow us on most social media platforms, Patreon, and Substack by searching for Hotel History or Hotel History Podcast. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so we can reach more listeners.